This is Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. Cross Hope is broadcast daily and shares 5 minutes of hope and encouragement from the Word of God. Our companion website is www.crosshope.org. Now, with today's uplifting message, here's Randy.
Now then, today, the second of 4 standalone messages on Cross Hope, where we share a message from Acts 23 about the resurrection, where Paul makes this intriguing statement before the Sanhedrin, the Supreme Court of the Jewish people. He says this: "I stand on trial because of my hope in the resurrection of the dead." Isn't that unbelievable? I stand on trial because of my hope in the resurrection of the dead. We begin with a story about finding a letter that my daughter had written to my mother years ago and continue right into this message. God bless you as you listen. Annie would take letters down. The children would dictate letters before they could write to Annie. Then she would write the letters and send them to my parents. And my parents, years ago, I'd forgotten all about this, had bought a sled for Elizabeth, our oldest, and for Jonathan, our second oldest, and said, "Can you two share this sled?" Elizabeth dictated her letter back to my mother and said, "Of course we can share. I will ride the sled going down the hill, and Jonathan can ride the sled going up the hill." That's exactly what she said. Now I know why she became a lawyer. I understand it. I figured that out. So we read that. Annie read that to our oldest son, Jonathan. He said, "That's the story of my life with her. That's the story of my life." Erwin Lutzer is a minister of the Moody Church in Chicago. I've been to that church. It's a great church, historic church in the city of Chicago. He said, "One day I received a call from a distraught family who wanted a minister to do a quick funeral. I say quick because they asked me to speak for only a few minutes. We don't want anything religious," the son said, "and nothing you do," listen to this sentence, I've never heard anybody say this before, "nothing you do will be too short." Can you imagine telling it? "Nothing you do will be too short." Erwin Lutzer said, "I asked him why it was so important for the funeral to be so brief. He told me his family was not religious. His father, who had died suddenly, had never attended church. They didn't believe in God. The only reason I was called was because there was a relative in the family who evidently carried a lot of weight, said that a minister should do it. I made a deal with him. Yes, I would be brief, but I would have to tell the guest what I believed about death in general and about Christ in particular." He reluctantly agreed. If there was one word that characterized that funeral, it was the word hopelessness. Hopelessness. Here was a man who had made millions of dollars in his industry, in his business, but he was to be cremated on that very day after a long eulogy but a very short sermon. I want to say something really bold today, that if you are living without the Lord of life in your life, the Lord of the resurrection in your life, you don't have the resurrection and the life in your life, then you're living a life of hopelessness. It may sound strange, it may sound judgmental, and I don't mean it either way, but it's just that most people live in hopelessness in the United States of America in 2015. They really do. There is a sense of hopelessness that's even greater now than I saw 10 and 15, 20 years ago. A sense of hopelessness with the world situation, economics, world war approaching on the horizon. There's just a sense of angst and anxiety that people have. And yet, believing in the hope of the resurrection, get this, is not only your only hope, but there's risk. Did you know that? There's risk when you believe in the hope of the resurrection.
And that, my friend, is the title of this message, Risky Business. It's a risk to believe today in the resurrection of Christ. Our website is crosshope.org. That's crosshope.org.
And yet, believing in the hope of the resurrection, get this, is not only your only hope, but there's risk. Did you know that? There's risk when you believe in the hope of the resurrection. I'm going to share a passage today I've never preached from in my life. I've never used it at Easter. I've never used it any time. I've never heard anyone use it for an Easter message. But it's where Paul is on trial in front of a religious group known as the Sanhedrin. They were the Jewish rulers, made up of two sects, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, two groups, political groups. And he's on trial for preaching the gospel, and he talks about the risk of believing in the hope of the resurrection. I think it's a fascinating passage. It's in the book of Acts, the 23rd chapter, beginning at verse 6, if we could bring that up. Then Paul, knowing that some of them were Sadducees and the others Pharisees, called out in the Sanhedrin, "My brothers, I am a Pharisee, the son of a Pharisee. I stand on trial because of my hope in the resurrection of the dead." Underline that in your mind if you don't underline it on the page. "I stand on trial because of my hope in the resurrection of the dead." When he said this, a dispute broke out between the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and the assembly was divided. You see, the Sadducees say there is no resurrection and that there are neither angels nor spirits, but the Pharisees acknowledge them all. There was a great uproar, and some of the teachers of the law who were Pharisees stood up and argued vigorously. "We find nothing wrong with this man," they said. "What if a spirit or an angel has spoken to him?" The dispute became so violent that the commander, the Roman commander, was afraid Paul would be torn to pieces by them. He ordered the troops to go down and take him away from them by force and bring him back to the barracks. The following night, the Lord stood near Paul. Here's a verse that some of you have never heard before. The following night, the Lord stood near Paul and said, "Take courage. As you have testified about me in Jerusalem, so you must all testify in Rome." That phrase this week not only stuck in my mind, but in my spirit. I stand on trial because of my hope in the resurrection of the dead. If you were on trial for your hope in the resurrection of the dead, here's a hypothetical question. Is there enough evidence to convict you? That's a legitimate question. Is there enough evidence to convict you or me that we believe in the hope of the resurrection of the dead? I'm going to tell you that I think this woman named Elizabeth is, when she says she's from Marysville, Ohio, because of something she says, probably from Marysville Reformatory. "I believe I have trusted man more than trusting God in my life, that I have sought man's knowledge before that of the one," with a capital O, "without sin. Man gave me a world full of sickness and corruption, filled with promiscuity and tolerance, filled with murder and ill will, filled with pride and selfishness, unfairness and anger. God gives me a world of hope for the future, full of strength and power to battle against the keeper of the darkness, Satan. I believe in the power of a simple act, that when I kneel before the King of Kings, the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the Prince of Peace, the Lord of Lords, the Deliverer, the Savior, the Almighty, the Holy of Holies, Emmanuel, the Redeemer, the Morning Star, the Lamb of God, the King of the Ages, the Creator of the Universe, the Light of the World, the Son of God, the Word of God, there is power in my simple act." She's right. Most powerful thing you and I can do this Easter is to kneel before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the risen Lord, and say, "I have hope in the resurrection."
We'll continue this message tomorrow. Our website is crosshope.org.
Most powerful thing you and I can do this Easter is to kneel before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the risen Lord, and say, "I have hope in the resurrection. And I'm a man, a woman, a young person who believes in the hope of the resurrection," and that is risky business in 2015. Just look at what happened in Kenya. Look what happened in Libya with the 30 or 40 Egyptian Christians executed. It's risky business to believe today in the hope of the resurrection through Jesus Christ. I love verse 11, if we can bring that up. "The following night, the Lord stood near Paul and said, 'Take courage. As you have testified about me in Jerusalem, so you must also testify in Rome.'" I don't know. We're not given the details of that encounter with the Lord. But I want to say the Lord is speaking to some man, some woman in this room right now, and he's telling you, take courage. You believe in hope, the hope of the resurrection. I'm with you. And you say, do you really believe that? Yeah, I really do. Because if you have something better than that, more powerful than that, more meaningful than that, more significant than that, share it with me. Because I really, really don't know. Susan is a doctor in Vermont. I don't have her last name. It's not given. Listen to her story and how that hope in the resurrection made a difference for her. I was a psychiatric resident on call one night, the only doctor in a mental hospital in that particular time. A patient suddenly had a cardiac arrest and collapsed. We worked for an hour trying to resuscitate her, but she died. I was in over my head. I was terrified and sad. Later, I called everyone together to talk. Now listen to this paragraph. There we were, four staff members, myself, 25 patients whose lives were in chaos due to mental illness in the drab day room of a locked ward. The voices were subdued. For a while, they talked about the woman who had died, about what was good, and then about death, and whether or not there was a heaven. Then a woman spoke up out of the group of patients. She had been psychotic for weeks. Listen to that again. She had been psychotic for weeks and made absolutely no sense with anything she said for weeks. Totally psychotic. She looked straight at me and said clearly in a soft voice, "This must be pretty difficult for you. I know you tried. This must be pretty difficult for you. I know you tried." Then there was silence. Susan said, "It was one of the most precious moments of my life. The woman who had almost nothing and had nothing to offer other than her psychosis showed some love and compassion." And then Susan says this, "I believe in hope. You see, Christ's resurrection from the dead and the love of others gives me hope." What gives you hope? Your money? Really? What's money done for you? Emotionally. What's it done for your family emotionally? What's it done for you psychologically and spiritually? Does your house give you hope? Does your car give you hope? And we can go through a litany, a list of things that we identify and say, that gives me hope. In 2015, the only thing that's going to give you hope that means anything is a relationship with the God who made you through his Son, Jesus Christ. I really believe that.
Well, tomorrow on Cross Hope, a powerful story that comes from the Vietnam era. It's a story I've never used before. I want you to hear it. Then on Friday, we close with a powerful story, I think, about an 81-year-old aunt of mine from Louisiana that's different. You want to hear it. That's on Cross Hope. Our website is crosshope.org. That's one word, crosshope.org. God bless you. Well, we continue this message from Acts 23, a standalone message about the resurrection of Christ, where Paul says, "I stand on trial because of my hope in the resurrection of the dead." What a statement. Let's continue with a powerful story about saying the words that mean more than anything in your life and eternity. Jesus is Lord. God bless you as you listen.
When you bring up the term Vietnam era now, there's a whole generation of people who don't know what you're talking about. Just a whole generation. And yet, to some of you, when I talk about the Vietnam era, you can bring it back. Jeff Cheadle is a minister friend of mine who's now in, I think, Camarillo, California. He's ministered in Pennsylvania. He's ministered in St. Louis, different parts of the country. And last time I checked, he was in California. He quoted a poem from the Vietnam era written by a woman who was dating a young man in the military during that time frame. That'll help you understand this poem. Here's what she wrote. It's a poem that's going to hit you in the stomach at the end because it's just such a powerful, powerful statement. It goes like this. "Remember the day I borrowed your brand new car and I dented it? I thought you would hit the ceiling, but you didn't. Remember the time I dragged you to the beach and you said it would rain and it did? I thought you'd say, 'I told you so,' but you didn't. Remember the time I flirted with all the guys to make you jealous and you were? I thought you might even leave me, but you didn't. Do you remember the time I spilled strawberry pie all over the carpet in your car? I thought you would totally lose it. But you didn't. And remember the time I forgot to tell you that the dance was formal and you showed up in jeans? I thought you might even drop me, but you didn't. There were a lot of things that you didn't do. But you put up with me and you loved me and you protected me. There were a lot of things I wanted to make up to you when you returned from Vietnam. But you didn't. But you didn't. An author commenting on that poem said that's the saddest usage of the phrase, "but you didn't," he's ever read. And that's good observation. But you didn't. You didn't return from Vietnam. Why? Because he died. But I'm going to suggest to you that's not the saddest usage of the phrase, "but you didn't." It's for a man or woman or young person in this room to stand before the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Deliverer, the Redeemer, all the words that Elizabeth at the Reformatory used to describe Jesus uses. And the question comes up, had you given your life to Jesus, but you didn't? Had you confessed his name with your lips, because the Bible says it's with our mouth that we confess that Jesus is Lord. It's with, we believe in our hearts, but it's with our mouths that we say three words, Jesus is Lord. But you didn't. A lot of people on the day of judgment, in my opinion, where it will be said, but you didn't. But you didn't. But you didn't. May that never be said of you or me. But will it be said of you and me that we did say the words that change a man's life or a woman's life? Jesus Christ is the Lord of my life. And you can say it with confidence, not because you have confidence in you, but because you have confidence in Christ.
Well, tomorrow on Cross Hope, we'll conclude this message with a different kind of story. It's about an 81-year-old aunt of mine who does something for a family member that will really touch your heart. CrossHope.org. That's CrossHope.org.
In 2015, the only thing that's going to give you hope that means anything is a relationship with the God who made you through his Son, Jesus Christ. I really believe that. I have an aunt and uncle that live in one of the smallest towns you've ever seen in the middle of Louisiana. It's called Cheneyville, Louisiana, south of Alexandria, Louisiana. For years, my aunt was the postmistress there. She grew up in Chicago, but has lived in Louisiana so long, she's more Southern than a Southerner, and her accent and so forth. She talks with a deep Southern accent, even though she grew up where I did in the Chicago area. When I was 15 years old, I spent a few weeks there in the summer, and one of the first days I was there, she handed me the keys to her pickup truck, black pickup truck, 3-speed on the column, and said, "I need you to go into town and get some things." And I said, "Aunt Barbara, I don't have a driver's license." And she said, "What's that got to do with it? Take the car and go into town and get some." So every morning I said, "What do we need from the store?" I wanted to drive. I'd never driven before on a regular basis, but I did in Louisiana when I was 15 years of age. I was asking my sister recently about my Aunt Barbara. How's she doing? My sister told me this. She's 81 years old. 5 days a week. 5 days a week she goes to the gym. Works out with weights. I'm sure she's not, you know, pressing 300 pounds or whatever, but she works out with weights, does the treadmill, does the elliptical machine, 5 days a week. And you say, your aunt must really be into fitness. Your aunt must really want to look good at 81 years of age. Has nothing to do with either one of those things. My aunt has a special needs daughter, still lives at home. She says, "I want to stay alive. My motivation is staying alive for my daughter." Isn't that interesting? 81 years of age, working out 5 days a week at a gym, and some of us fight over a parking space so we can be 2 feet closer to the mall door. And she's working out an hour a day, 5 days a week, all motivated by love. Motivated by love. What do you do out of love? This is not a message about self-confidence. It's about Christ confidence. It's not a message about self-confidence or self-affirmation, make you feel good. It's about Christ confidence. what men and women need in 2015 when people are being executed for their faith, whether it's in Kenya or Libya or any place else in Iraq, wherever. We need people who say, I stand because my hope in the resurrection of the dead. You'll stand on something. Decide today, my faith in the resurrection of the dead because of Jesus. He's alive forevermore. And because one grave is empty, I have hope. Because one person walked out of a grave alive, I have a reason to get up tomorrow morning, and I have a reason to face life and even face death because of one reason. He's alive forevermore. Hallelujah. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for speaking to us today from a book or a passage I've never shared in a message ever at any church, in any venue. But today, we read where Paul said, I stand on trial because of my hope in the resurrection. May that be said of us, that we stand on our hope of the resurrection, not only our resurrection, but your Son, Jesus Christ, his resurrection from the dead. Bless this invitation time as we share a time of decision. If people need to respond to that Christ today, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Well, folks, if there's ever a message on Cross Hope you'd like to hear again, you do know we have a website called crosshope.org. That's crosshope.org to listen to this message or any other message you've heard on Cross Hope.
You've been listening to Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. For more information about this ministry or to re-listen to any message heard on this broadcast, go to our website at crosshope.org. Be sure to join us at this same time each weekday or listen at www.crosshope.org. Cross Hope is listener-supported and is produced by Cross Hope Ministries, Incorporated.